There's about to be the 250th anniversary of the founding of America. And so the question we want to ask is, what is being celebrated? What is significant? Okay, so what happened 250 years ago, Mayon?
The founding of America.
Founding of America. Okay, and what is significant about America and its founding? That it's what? What?
It's free.
Okay, it's free. Okay, what else? You know, does that mean like free medical care, free lunch, free, you know, popcorn? What's free? Okay, what is it? America is a nation. What?
Founded on the concept of individual rights.
Okay, it's founded on the concept of individual rights. Okay, and it's a nation with a what?
Constitution.
A constitution. It's a nation with a constitution. So what's significant about that? What is significant about a nation with a constitution? Do you know what a constitution is? What is a constitution? What is it? What does it do for the nation?
It makes them like have rights.
Okay. You wouldn't be able to honor people's rights without a constitution. What?
It states their rights.
Okay. So the Bill of Rights, which is the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, states what people's rights are. But what does the Constitution do? Because the Constitution was written for what?
It protects against arbitrary government.
Protects against arbitrary government. Okay, it is a what for the government? What?
Chains.
Yeah, okay, good. But what's that's kind of a metaphor. What?
Boundary,
okay? It limits, it restrains the government because the government, okay, we're going to have to get into history, but historically has been an institution that has taken people's rights from them or has violated people's rights. So the restrainer is the Constitution. It restrains, okay, and it limits government. Okay, so the government was restrained. And so if the government is restrained from being arbitrary or going beyond those boundaries, then what's the result? If the government is limited, then what's the result? The benefit for the people. If the government's restrained, then what? Then your rights are going to be protected because the government's restrained from violating rights. Do you understand? He gave nations appointed boundaries. Now, those are physical boundaries. Like if you look at a map, you see, these nations have physical boundaries, right? You see the color difference between the other nations around them. So there's physical boundaries, but what else? Yeah.
Boundaries of how far their authority reaches.
Right. Boundaries in their authority. Their authority of government has boundaries. Our Father didn't give governments authority to violate people's inalienable rights. The governments are there to protect rights. And that was... because that's a truth, but where was that articulated? The government is set up to protect rights. Where is that written? What?
Declaration of Independence.
The Declaration of Independence. It says, to secure rights, governments are instituted. That is, the purpose of government is to protect people's rights, which can be violated by criminals. It can be violated by the government itself. So... okay, now, why is a constitutional government so good? Because we've already answered it. What did you get, Mayon? What does it do for the government?
It has boundaries.
It gives them boundaries. It limits them. Okay, very good. Now, it's easy to think that in history, just once upon a time, there was something called a constitution, and that's why we have rights and freedoms, and as if it's like etched in stone somewhere, but we know that it's actually a great accomplishment in history. It took centuries and millennia to accomplish a constitutional government, a government with restrictions, okay? So the implication is what? If it took a long time to accomplish, then we have to look at history, okay? So when the American Founding Fathers declared independence from England, they had to set up their own form of government, and they had to make a constitution. They had to set up a constitution which limited the government's authority. And so they looked at history. So let's go back into history. Let's go back into European history. What was Europe like before people had rights? Do you know what it was like in Europe? What did you call the system that was in place for a long time? What was the name of that system that went on for a long time? Yes.
Monarchy?
Okay, there's monarchy. It was ruled by kings. But there was a system in place before the Renaissance. You know what that was called? What?
Feudalism.
Feudalism. And there were three classes of people. Yes?
Peasants.
Yeah, peasants. Yeah.
Lords.
Lords. And what was the third class? The what?
Ministers.
Yeah, the clergy, right? The church. There were the church class, the lords or the barons or the higher classes that ruled, the ruling class, and there were the peasants. Okay, and it was a social status and it was a legal status. And so it's hard for a free people, so we're a free people here, to imagine what it was like to live in a society where your legal status, your social status, if you were a peasant, if you weren't one of the lords and the rulers, you couldn't be, sometimes you wouldn't be heard in court, you could be put in prison for life, you could be in prison because of someone's complaint, because of someone's suspicion, without a specific accusation, you could be thrown in prison to rot, okay? And you just, if you question the government or what they did, you could be just thrown in prison. You didn't have rights, okay? And then you have the history of in England, even in the centuries before America was founded. What were things like in England? What could happen in England? Here's one thing, okay? Kings dragged the nation into brutal, self-serving power struggles. So they would decide, we're going to war. Kings would decide, we're going to war, and the people weren't behind it, but they'd have to send their tax money to the king, they'd have to send their children to these wars, and they were political wars, they were in the interest of the king, and if people stood up and said, it's crushing, these taxes are crushing, our children are dying, and they wanted to protest, they could be put in prison, they could be, without the rights that we have today. So that was English history for a while. And then as far as freedom of religion goes, at one point in history, the Bible started being translated into English. And who was threatened by the Bible being translated into English? Who was that a threat to? Who?
The church.
The church. Okay, it was a threat to the king, but church and state what?
Were together?
They were together. They were married. There was a marriage of church and state. They weren't separate. So the church and the king worked together. So the church was threatened by people having a Bible. So what's the question I'm going to ask? Do you know what question I would ask?
Why was the church threatened?
Why would the church be threatened? Because what is the Bible? The Bible is instruction for who?
The church.
For church, for the Christians. So why would Christians have a hard time with people reading the instructions for the church? Yes.
Because they weren't actually doing what it said.
Okay. Because the church wasn't abiding by those instructions. What else?
And it was going against what their beliefs were.
Okay. Yes. It contradicted the beliefs of the church. Yes.
It would expose them.
Okay. And it also contained instructions, but it also contained the record of the beginnings of the church, the primitive pattern. Where are those beginnings found in the Bible?
Acts 2:44
and Acts
4:32.
4:32, okay? Acts 2:44 says those who believed what?
Shared all things in common.
Were together.
They lived together and they shared all things in common. And Acts 4:32 said because they shared everything in common, there were what?
No rich or poor among them.
Yeah, no needy among them, okay? So that was the primitive pattern. And some of those people read about the primitive pattern, and they said, wow, we've got to restore this. This is the way it was. And they looked at the church, and there were differences between rich and poor, the lords and the peasants. The whole system was that way. And I mean, if they read other things, you would know that there was no clergy laity system there. Everyone, you know, where's that? 1 Corinthians 14:26, right? Whenever you come together, everyone has something to share, a psalm. I mean, that certainly was not going on in the church. So you can see that there's a problem. If Christianity, if people were to get a hold of the Bible, they would say, whoa, there's a big difference between what's going on in the church and what this primitive pattern. So there were people that were coming out of the church or separating themselves. What were they called? What?
Separatists.
Separatists, right? And what were what's another name for the separatists when they came to America? They were what?
Pilgrims.
Pilgrims. The Pilgrims of Plymouth, right? They settled in Plymouth Plantation. And then we're going to talk about the Puritans too. But the separatists, they came out and they said, the church is corrupt. I mean, the church was burning people at the stake, right? Who knows that quote from Thomas Jefferson, right? What?
Millions of innocent men, women, and children. Since the introduction of church and...
Nope. Since the introduction of...
Christianity.
Have
been burnt, tortured, fined, and imprisoned.
Yeah. And then it hasn't brought the church closer to unity, right? So that's what he said. Millions have been burnt, tortured, men, women, and children. So, and it hasn't brought the church closer to unity. That was the history. So if the separatists said, this is what the church is doing, and they looked at the Bible and see that the Bible's talking all about love, they said, we're not just going to say this, there's things the church is doing that's wrong. We're going to what? We're not just going to say, oh, you know, the church should change and get better. They're going to what?
Separate themselves,
right? Come out of the church. And so they came out, and they were called separatists, and they were a big threat to the church. And they came to America, and how did they start living in America in the beginning? Or how did they live even as a church group? When they saw in the Bible how the first church lived, how did they live? What?
Like they did.
They tried to live like they did, which means what?
Shared all things in common.
They shared everything. They had a common garden for a time. So they wanted to imitate the first church. Okay, and then there was the other group. What did you say the other group was called?
The Puritans.
You know what Puritan means? What?
Purify the church.
They wanted to purify the church. So they actually didn't think it was completely corrupt, and there was hope of being inside the church and trying to influence it and purify it. But they ended up going to America also. So were they persecuted or not in England?
Yes.
Yes, they were. You know, they weren't as much of a threat as the separatists who said, we completely reject the church. But they were still persecuted, and so they went to America to set up a colony. And so they thought, okay, so they came to America because they would be free to set up a colony in America. But when they got to America, they were free. Nobody was going to tell them how to conduct their worship services and how to live. But when they came to America, what happened? What was the difference between the Puritan colony when they came to America? Who remembers?
They started imposing the same restrictions on the people that came over to believe the same way.
They would definitely imprison people. They would banish people. Yes.
Why were the separatists do that? The pilgrims?
The pilgrims, because they wanted to set up what they called a city on a hill. Because they believed that having civil order in a society meant you had one religious doctrine, and that's how you keep order.
I thought they didn't like that about the church.
Okay, so they didn't them. Exactly. They didn't like it in England that they were being tortured because of what they believed. Or they were being imprisoned or persecuted. But then when they came to America, what? Yes.
Persecuting people.
Or, you know, using the law to punish people, punish those who disagreed with them. So what's a reformulation of that? What did they do in America? They brought the same corruption over to America. They brought the same system of forcing people to believe their beliefs over to America. The same oppression. Okay, so go ahead and read Acts 17:26. So we want to talk about, there's a hidden purpose for America. The purpose that most people know about in America is America came, they founded a constitution, and the result of having limits on the government was, what was the benefit? Who remembers? I said it a little while ago.
That people actually had the right.
Okay, they already had rights, but that those rights were what?
They weren't going to get, violated?
They weren't going to get violated. What's a word in the positive for that? The rights would be what?
Protected.
Protected, upheld, secured.
So that's the benefits, and that's a purpose that's written in history, but there's a hidden purpose for America that we're going to talk about.
And that hidden purpose is it's captured in this verse in Acts 26. Go ahead.
And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth. Oh, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings.
And then what does it say after that?
So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us.
Okay, so that they could grope for God, okay? Grope for God and seek him and perhaps find him. So our Father gave boundaries. So he said physical boundaries and what else? They gave them boundaries of what?
Like how far their authority could...
Okay, boundaries on their...
Authority?
Authority, okay? So that people could grope for God. That means they have to be free to find our Father. So the hidden purpose is that there are people on the earth that are wanting to restore the primitive pattern. And so now do people have to, could you be put in prison for having a Bible in America today? Could you be persecuted for owning a Bible in America today? When are people going to start being persecuted? Yeah?
When they start obeying the truths that are in the Bible.
So when they start living the Bible, then why is that going to cause them to be persecuted? If people start living that way, why would people want to persecute people who live the way it says in the Bible? Because why? Yes.
The church isn't living that way?
Yeah, because even to this day, the church doesn't bear any resemblance to the primitive pattern. They don't live together. There are rich and poor. There are rich and poor. There are clergy and lady system. There are those who are appointed to be the speakers, and there are those who have to be quiet in the church for the most part. And so that system of rich and poor, of clergy laity still exists, and if somebody were to restore the primitive pattern, they would be a threat. Now, the government couldn't arrest them necessarily for their beliefs, for their religious beliefs, but who would they be a threat to? Who? Yes?
The church.
And why? Why would the church be upset that somebody was living the way the Bible says for people to live? Because why?
It might cause trouble to the church's reputation that they...
Okay. It would expose the church. And what could happen to their followers of the church? Yes?
They could get, persuaded, you might say.
Okay, they could get persuaded what?
They would go follow the person instead of the church.
They would follow the people that are doing it, right? What?
They would get converted to another.
Yeah, they would lose their converts, right? They'd lose their members. So it's a big deal. Yes, if people are obeying the Bible, then they would be a threat to the church. Now, real quick. There was someone else in early American history that we want to talk about, right? And who's that?
Roger Williams.
Roger Williams. And he was what? What would be a good word for him? Yes.
Seeker.
But was he a Puritan? He started out as a Puritan, right? But he ultimately was a what?
Separatist.
A separatist, right? Because he saw the church as, what did he say? He called the church a metaphor. You know what he called it? There was a metaphor he had for the primitive church. Yes?
It was a garden?
A garden. A garden of the church became one with, what did he call the world? Do you know? Anybody else know? Okay, what?
The wilderness of the world.
The wilderness, the wild wilderness. The garden became like a wild, unkept wilderness. Okay, and so then he also talked about the stone. He said the stone that was being carved out of the mountain, referring to the first church, Christianity became one with the world. And so he said he knew that one day they were going to have to be separated, cut out of the world. And that's a prophecy, which we're not going to get into now, but in Daniel 2, that in the last days our Father's going to carve a people out of the world without human hands. So what did Roger Williams do in that same time period as the Pilgrims? What did he do? He established something. You know what he established?
A state where you could believe anything you wanted.
Good. A state where you could believe anything you wanted. It was the first state with total what?
Freedom.
Total freedom, but total what?
Separation of church and state.
Total separation of church and state. So that was the first time in history, because you can have, who can finish my sentence? You can have free speech and free assembly and free press as a concept, but until what?
Until there's separation of church and state, it means utterly nothing.
Especially in those time periods when the biggest threat to people's rights came from the union of church and state. The kings and the bishops were together, and the laws dictated how you worshipped and how you believed in God. He knew there had to be a complete separation of church and state because God's true people would be persecuted, right? And our master even said that in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, leap for joy, right? When all men speak against you. If people are speaking against you, know they spoke against me before. And Mark 10 says, whoever gives up father, what? Mother, what?
House, lands, children, yep. And for my sake.
And?
The gospel.
Will what? What?
Receive a hundredfold.
A hundredfold. A hundred what?
And persecution.
Okay, 100 times as much. Houses, farms, with, what did he just say? What?
Persecution.
With persecution. So, Roger Williams knew that. When God's people truly emerged, they would disturb things and they would be persecuted. Well, when God's people truly emerged on the earth and they were obedient to the Bible, they would be persecuted. So that is what we're calling the hidden purpose of America. It was hidden in Acts 17:26 that God set up appointed times and boundaries and limits on the governments of the earth so that people could be free to grope for God, so that when God's people would be raised up, they'd be free to practice their faith. They'd have free expression of religion. That's in the what? Nor prohibit the free exercise of religion. Where is that? What?
First Amendment.
First Amendment of the
Bill of Rights.
Bill of Rights, okay. So that's so that God's people, when they emerged, would be protected.